The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a bunch of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitch. We're live on X. X, the cool social site that everybody loves.
X, go to Google
Live on there. Or maybe it's broken. It doesn't work anymore. Who knows? Maybe you're listening later on Spotify or Apple or Android or wherever you get your podcast. Just a note here at the beginning. Stitcher is going away. We've been plugging it for a while, but it's going away at the end of August. So if you're subscribed on Stitcher, subscribe literally anywhere else you can get podcasts because it's not going to be around for long. But, folks, we have a packed show for you.
Yeah, we
packed. It's packed to the brim, but we're going to pack it even harder right now because, as we always do, once a month we pay tribute to our Patreon supporters, specifically people who have pledged at the $5 and above level. We give a little thank you shout out to them. I will mention, we didn't do this last month, and I do apologize for that, but that's only because all three of us were not on the show at the same time.
Yeah,
at
it's, our fault. It's our fault. It's
not our fault. It's our fault. We've been busy.
So I guess what we'll probably do is we'll do it this week, and then maybe we'll do it next week as well.
All right.
Someone's like a rehearsal.
So why don't we kick it off with a big thank you to Oitis Larson,
Aaron C. Hollis,
Adam DeRose,
Adam Harwitz,
Adam Marks,
Adriel Moreland,
Elena Fontenot,
Amanda Harris,
Andrew
Primo,
Andrew Tillman,
Ashy G,
Beercat PhD,
Benjamin Brown,
Carly G,
Carly W, spelled differently,
Carrie Matthews,
Chris Leatherman,
Christina Jaramillo,
Christina Rensfield,
Chris Terlizzi,
Clemens Luer,
Curtis LaRock,
Demand Ryan,
Dan Snow,
Daniel Cabrera,
Daniel Fuentes,
Daniel Warden,
Danny Heck,
Debbie Gloom,
Dennis Scott,
Derek Mainhart,
Doug Sadaway,
Dylan L.J.,
Eduardo Martinez,
Emmett Quish,
Aaron Durian,
Jeffrey Risher,
Gerard DeVillier,
Isaac Carter,
Jake Fry,
James Connolly,
James Kurtz,
Jaron Townsend,
Jason Donahue,
Jeffrey Whaley,
John George,
John Henderson,
Jonathan Jong,
Jonathan McCool,
Joshua W. Broxson,
Julian Lobato,
KC Newhaven,
Kevin Kleinrock,
Kieran Broderick,
Cody Thomas,
Leewana Thomas,
Luke Asink,
Matt Tice,
Matthew C. Hernandez,
Matthew DePalma,
Michael Tillman,
Nelson Kelso Martinez,
Nick G,
Nick Grayson,
Official CBC Chef Brett Macris,
Undisputed, Omnia Solart,
Oren Dix,
Pedro A. Rangel,
Perry Taliaferro,
Provocative Ambulance,
Rev Mikey,
Robert Pettinato,
Sarah John Mueller,
Sarah Schaefer,
Scott Carpenter,
Scott England,
Stanley,
Steve Cook,
Tamalia Rush,
Taylor Bryan,
Terrible Jason,
The Big Flood,
The 12 Bench,
Victor Perez,
Will Buchanan,
William Leitch,
Zachary Bachman,
and Zika's Viral Comics.
Thank you all so much for your support, whether you read your name or not, for real. You can, as low as $2 a month, you can pledge our Patreon. You don't only get access to our Patreon Slack, which is very active and awesome and fun. Hopping. Lots of people chatting there, but you also get our back catalog going all the way back to 2011, which is literally thousands of podcasts, some of which are no longer online elsewhere. So if you want to listen to a lot of podcasts, there you go.
You can hear our voices age.
All right. Well, let's get to our first guests.
Alex, I know. That's present day.
There we go. Why don't we bring in our first guests, though? They are the creators of the new Image comic books, Kill Your Darlings, which is out September 6th. I'm going to bring them in now. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the whole team here, or most of the team. There's other people involved. Ethan S. Parker, Griffin Sheridan, and Bob Quinn. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
It's great to meet you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, my gosh. So excited to have you here. This book is wild. I don't want to get too much into spoilers because obviously it's not out for this point. For about a month, just real quick business before we get into it. What is the final order cutoff date if people want to tell their comic book shop, hey, they got to pick up this book?
Oh, Alex, I'm so glad you asked, man. If you want a copy of Kill Your Darlings number one when it drops on September 6th, go and make sure that you've got it ordered, pre-ordered at your retailer by August 13th. That's a Sunday coming up in less than 2 weeks now.
All right. Well, awesome. That was a little bit of business out of the way. But people are probably asking at this point, why would I go to my comic book shop by August 13th? That's a thing I hate to do. So let's
where are you?
I don't know what I'm doing tonight, honestly, in a very weird place. But this book is great. It's scary. Some surprising things happen over the course of the first issue. But again, without getting into spoilers, would one of you like to do the pitch for the book to sell folks on it?
I can take the lead on that,
Yeah, please.
This book is about a little girl named Rose, who I think, like a lot of us, is an incredibly imaginative kid. A lot of us were an imaginative kid. We no longer are. We are adults with no imaginations.
Rotten out of our old brains and bodies.
That's right. But she's an incredibly imaginative 8-year-old girl who comes home every day from school, runs to her room and plays pretend in this fantasy world of her own creation. And she's just the most imaginative kid you can think of, where she's got character designs, she's got maps, she's got lore to this world that she's created. She does this, she role plays pretty intensely that she is this warrior princess, this protector of, you know, these stuffed creatures represented by her plush animals. And that's just her ultimate comfort. But one day she ends up coming home, and when she closes that bedroom door, she finds someone has laid waste to her imaginary world. And a lot of her adorable imaginary friends have been horrifically murdered. That starts to ask a lot of questions, both of Rose and of the audience. There is a monster at the center of her world, and it seems to be much more real than it should be. So the lines between fantasy and reality start to break down, and Rose is going to have to reckon over the course of a saga that encapsulates her whole life. What's real? What's not? What does this mean for me? And what the fuck is going on?
That's her tagline, right?
Exactly.
What the fuck? Yeah.
I feel like just looking at the first issue, it feels like it's a really, like, there's been a lot of thought put into this. Like, it feels like a deeply rendered world, both from an art perspective and, like, the page we're seeing there now. And some of the ways that you guys sort of visually tell the story. So how did you guys put this together?
This has been a long time coming. Ethan and I have been sort of drifting around the comic book industry for the past decade or so by means of podcasting and having the opportunity to work alongside creators like Donnie Cates, Ryan Stegman, Matt Rosenberg, and most recently he's the best, we love him, and Bendis most recently. And when we got in the graces of those guys, we knew that there was a possibility that we could get into the industry. And so for about 3 years now, we have been crafting this story. So you're absolutely right. There has been a lot of thought that has gone into it. We've had the privilege of retooling and tinkering with this story for a very long time. And as lifelong comic book fans, it is a passion project, I think, from everybody involved. And so it has been a long time coming. It has gone through many iterations, and it sort of started with a germ of an idea from Ethan about some of these visuals that you've been seeing in these preview pages here of the spooky crayon drawings of something so childish and innocent with something bizarre and fucked up happening sort of on top of it. And we both love horror. We both love fantasy. So when it came time to putting together our first book, we said, well, let's smash those two things together and see what we get. And there's a split right down the middle of real and fantasy and horror and adventure throughout the whole book, and we're sort of jumping back and forth between those two things. every issue.
Just to jump in here then and to ask Bob a question. I mean, I know a little bit of this at the very least is on the colors, but you do have these two separate worlds like we're talking about. You have the quote unquote real world and then you have the fantasy world she's playing in. And what was important for you in terms of delineating these two realities?
I mean, so Ethan and Griffin made it very easy for me because one of them is like, it's very much like sort of high fantasy stuff, right? Like it's castles, it's big trees, it's creepy caves and stuff like that. And then like, there's also, you know, she has her regular old house that she lives in. It's just kind of like a house, right? But a big part of it, I think you actually just said, came down to a lot of what I was doing with the colors, which was, you know, this place is her respite. It's her beautiful, fun place that she loves to, you know, hang out in when, you know, she's able to, right? So making sure that it was fun and vibrant and keeping, you know, some of the stuff that's happening in her life because it is not the best, you know, a little bit more drab and dark, dreary, spooky, I think kind of was where I was going with that. And yeah, I mean, obviously being able to draw a castle is pretty easy to tell whether or not that's in our neighborhood or not. So,
for Ethan and Griffin, I'm curious. You obviously, like you were saying, you're like lifelong comic book fans, just like us. You've read tons of comics, but it also sounds like you had a fair amount of mentorship from folks. I'm sure there's innumerable amounts, but was there a specific piece of advice or something that really kicked this project into the next level for you?
Yeah, we've been talking about this a bit recently with Donnie Cates because he was the first hand that really helped guide us, gave us our first feedback and was incredibly helpful just with his warnings. I mean, he let us know because we took this thing around to a lot of doors and, you know, pitched it to Image and it, you know, it's never going to be a sure thing. We were hoping they would like it. And he, you know, his big warning to us, which has really stuck with us ever since, was especially since the book is not out yet. His big warning to us was, listen, are you sure you want it to be an Image? Because if you're going to be an Image, that's the biggest stage you can kick off with something like this at. And this is going to be the most eyes you could have on something like this. And so this being your first work, like, you gotta show up. You gotta like take the biggest swings you can. And that was really nerve-wracking because it's great advice, but it's also like, oh God, what are we doing?
Yeah, there was an existential crisis moment where, of course, we were.
That's a panic piece of advice to give you. Yeah, like, oh, you go to Image? Okay, good luck.
Yeah, we were like, obviously the whole time, you know, I think Image has maybe the best deal an independent creator can get in the industry these days. And so we're always like, yeah, of course we want it to be, you know, at Image. Why wouldn't we? And then he sort of threw that grenade out and we were like, Jesus Christ, do we want it to be at Image?
Because especially working with a lot of creators who, you know, are obviously incredible, but even they will say, you know, I went back, looked at some of my first stuff, embarrassing. I wish I could erase it from existence. And it's just like, all right, well, first thing out of the gate, here we go. It's on the Image stage. And as nerve-wracking as that is, and as daunting as that is, I mean, it really has guided the entire process of the book. It has made us continue to, at every single turn, take the biggest risks that we can. It's kept us from getting complacent. I mean, there's point, you know, you work on one project over 3 years and there's so many points where you're staring at the same Google Docs, you're staring at the same drafts of the same thing. It's so easy to let dust gather and to get rusty. But yeah, that his words have continued to ring because it's just like, okay, well you can recover from making a crazy choice that upsets people, but you can't recover from boring people ever. And so it's always like whenever we get the idea of something that makes our stomachs lurch a little bit, it's always like, well, that's probably the direction to go because that's the bigger swing. And so this book is full of our craziest ideas. It's full
always,
of our biggest
things. Always chase that nausea.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Your stomach's churning, you're on the right track.
You have no idea how much that actually guides everything in this book.
It's
like, because like when they came to me, they're like, hey, how do you feel about fantasy? I'm like, I love fantasy. How do you feel about this and that? How do you feel about horror? And I'm like, not really a horror guy. And they're like, ooh. And so like we started working on the book, and then some of the visuals, like you've seen some of them in issue one, but like it gets wilder as it goes gnarly. On. Yeah, it gets real gnarly. And I kept going like, well, I have like, I just need to meet them where they are. So like, I kept pushing visuals and grossness until the point where I got uncomfortable with them. And once I got there, I was like, okay, we're probably, this is good. I'll stop.
Griffin and I talk about it more and more where it's like, oh boy, like we'll write something in the script and we're like, oof, that's a tough one. And then we'll get the art back and just seeing Bob solidify it into something real. It's like, oh, why did we do that? Oh, Christ.
Yeah, I like you seem to be, you keep giving each other some nausea. So that's
honestly,
that's
just,
the same way.
Just shots in the arm going each way. Yeah.
Did you have to kill any darlings over the course of the process?
Oh, my. Oh, yes. I mean, you know, again, we've been working on it for so long. It's like Ethan was saying, it has been so easy to go creatively stir crazy on it. And sometimes it was a matter of like, we're going to kill every fucking darling, dude. They're going to throw the whole thing at it. Like, we're gonna change the entire book 2 months before the issue has to be finished or whatever it is. Yeah. And so learning to walk that tightrope has been very challenging. But yes, plenty of darlings have been killed over the course of the 3 years we've been working on this for sure. And honestly, the book has ended up kind of being about us making something for the first time. So the title has just been fitting in so many ways.
Yeah, there's a lot of thematic like layers and everything, of course. But yeah, one of them, certain you could find it in there, certainly is like, yeah, about making something for the first time and what it does to you.
Yeah. Well, just one last thing on that. Sorry, Alex. Yeah, I think it just lines up like, you know, we all started in any creative pursuit in our rooms as kids, lining up our stuff and being like, this is so cool. And then at the other side of it, you're like, okay, we have to, on the biggest stage, make sure, when does this release? When does it cut off orders? Like, it gets that adult side, the scary side coming in. So
definitely.
It really is. That's a really nice metaphor for doing
it. Yeah, totally.
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations, guys, because it is awesome. I mean, image we were just showing of the hands coming out of the cave really got me. And you talk about like a kind of like jump moment where your stomach, like when you kind of snap back to the real world. And there's that part where you're yelling with the kid, like, where's the mom? You know, like, where's the mom? And you're like, oh, God, it's really powerful. So congratulations. It's really impressive.
Bob, I was curious, since we have this image up again, are you ready for people to meme this?
I didn't even think about it. Oh, no.
A lot of ideas.
I ruined your book for you.
I only made it better.
Listen, we'll take whatever marketing you got up your sleeve.
Yeah. No problem. I got a million. The rest of the night, I'm going to work on memes based on this book. I'll send them all to you. That's an appropriate thing to do. I did want to ask you an actual question about this. This is like kind of skirting spoilers, but I'm just curious in terms of the construction process. There's a lot of questions in this book about what is reality versus what is not actually happening. What is fantasy? How do you, over the course of this series, structure out those reveals? How cognizant of it are you so it doesn't get to a place where it's annoying for the reader and you get to those, I'm going to slam one of my favorite shows, Justin's going to love this. You don't get to that lost place of like, what is actually going on here?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, for anybody that might be going in concerned about that, I would say the book pretty quickly lets you know what's really going on. You're going to have questions. The book is a finite story. We are writing a complete thing. Like, it has an ending that we've intended the whole time. And there are answers that will play out as to why things have happened that will occur later in the game. But as far as, like, you know, you'll be in issue two. And you will know what's really going on and where you're headed. I think you'll get to the ending with all of your questions answered. There won't be any tomfoolery when it comes to
there's no mystery box. What's up with Walt here? No polar bears.
No, I think, you know, we do set up a lot of stuff in issue one. I think even folks won't entirely realize just how much we're setting up until. Right. Until you get further in the series. But yeah, it's not
this is draft
like
20 of the book. There's a lot of seeds planted early on. Yeah.
We're not in the business of creating mystery boxes that are meant to never be opened, or when you open them, they're fucking empty or whatever. Everything is extremely purposeful.
Yeah, all the confusion is right there at the start, so that you're right there with Rose as to what's happening to her. You're as confused as she is, but as soon as she's, you know, off on her journey and she knows where she's going, then you will too.
Well, let me ask you as a follow-up there, then, the world's worst question. This took you several years to put together. It clearly has been a bear to actually get out there. Granted, we haven't even seen the Polar release bear. Of the first issue yet, Polar Bear. Do you want to do more? Are you planning on, after this series is done, you're like, okay, like, let's get right back in it? Or you're like, nope, that's good. Yeah. We covered it.
No, this is the beginning of what I think, you know, Ethan and I, this is our debut book. This is the beginning for us of, I think, what we hope is a very long and illustrious career in comic books. We've got the second idea up and running. We've got many ideas up and running. And who knows, you might even see this exact creative team on something else.
Wow.
Perhaps.
I like the way you very dramatically
I don't know.
Listen, we're professional podcasters too. But really, I mean,
we love working. We've absolutely loved working with Bob and John J. Hill, our letterer and designer. Both of those gentlemen are absolute pros. They got no business working with rookies like us, but they are. And we are extremely grateful for them. We are very excited to hit the ground running with Kill Your Darlings. Yeah. And I believe we will continue running until we die, Ethan, I think.
Definitely until we die. We will. Because I will say, like, this is definitely the hardest thing I've ever done, is making this happen. This has been some of the most grueling, just emotional effort, just forcing something to become real that matters so much to you. It's incredibly difficult. However, it is the most satisfying work that I've ever done. Making this thing has and continues to be a dream come true, especially with Bob and John making those dreams reality. And so, yeah, it's like, I can't endeavor to put more irons in the fire. I just want to do this for the rest of my life. Absolutely.
I love in that single sentence, though, you were like, this is going to kill me. I love it. I'm never going to stop. So you're the darling.
Exactly. Yes, we are.
Exactly. Correct.
And we have a very nice comment here from Twitch that I wanted to read from Polar Knights. I like this show. It is the perfect evolution of beard growth.
Oh, yeah, you can see it.
Yeah. I suggested it's like an Animorphs painting a little bit.
Oh, wow.
I just shaped. Is it Bob or Pete?
Bob's the final form, yeah.
Bob's
the
final form.
I'd say so.
Absolutely. guys, thank you so much for coming on once again. Final order cutoff date, people should go to their comic book shop by Griffin, which date?
August 13th.
August 13th.
Yeah,
there
please.
We go.
We hope you love it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. We definitely loved it. Great book. I'm dying. I can't believe we now need to wait 2 months to read the second issue because it rules. Congratulations, guys. Very excited.
Thanks
to
so
you
much. Appreciate it. Great to be here. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Keep killing it.
All right, there we go. Once again, the book is called Kill Your Darlings. It's from Image Comics. Like we said, the final order cutoff date, where you should go to your comic book shop and say, hey, please order this for me, is August 13th. And then the book itself will be out on stands on September 6th. So you can check it out then.
It's my wedding anniversary. Perfect gift for my wife.
She
likes my comic book.
That's exactly what she wants. More comics.
Yes, they definitely.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we bring in our next guest here? Very excited about these two. They're both returning guests from, I was going to say different sides, but kind of the same side of Archie Comics. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there we go. It was a little hard to get you in. JB Ritate and Vin Lavallo.
Hey,
welcome back.
Hey.
Hello. Good to see you both.
Thank you for having us again.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for coming on. So Jamie, for anybody who doesn't know, is the senior director of editorial for Archie Comics, and Vin is the art director and awesome artist of Bite-Sized Archie.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of things that are coming out. I do want to start with Bite-Sized Archie. Volume 2, Going Viral, is out September 5th, I believe. Is that correct?
September 6th, so another anniversary gift.
Oh, man.
There we go. Wow. Yeah, stack them up, Justin. You got it.
Man, your wife is going to be so happy.
Is Kill Your Darling, so while you're getting that, ask for bite-sized Archie going viral. You're going to want it.
The 8th anniversary is this comic book stack anniversary, I believe.
Exactly.
Right.
We love this book. It is so much fun. It has, true to the title, gone viral. People share it everywhere. People share this stuff everywhere on Instagram and Twitter and everything. One of the things that I want to shout out in particular, and I don't remember whether this is in the first volume, but I loved when I was reading the second volume, is there's process pages from you, which I thought was so cool.
I love that.
Could you talk about that a little bit and how that came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we wanted to... we wanted to fill this thing with as much content as possible. So naturally, this series is a webcomic. It's out every Friday afternoon. And you've read these strips before, but you've never seen these behind-the-scenes features. So we wanted to explain some of our process. Ron always has some story to go along with his scripts, something maybe from his own life experience. Sometimes I'll throw something in the background that came from my own experience. So we just wanted to expand on that a little bit more and, you know, share our own personal stories with our fans.
Well, I love that you did that. I feel like particularly, and this is going to sound derisive, but I 100% don't mean it that way. I think particularly with this style, with this sort of comic, people are like, oh, you just do it and you put it up there. But like you're saying, there's so much thought that goes into it, from how you're going to hit that gag from Ron's perspective to from your perspective, like designing the characters and figuring it out. There's one in here that I absolutely love that you guys put out when I think it was when Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness came out, and you did the same a Jughead Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
And I'm just so impressed the different styles that you gave to each Jughead. What was involved in putting together that piece?
So what's funny is I've actually I've drawn some different styles of Jughead prior. One you can actually find in Cosmo the Mighty Martian number 5. It was a backup strip, and in the background you can see Werewolf Jughead poolside with a plate full of burgers. So I referenced myself to draw that. So I already did the homework. I aced that test. But I always look back to other artists that have handled the characters in the past. Rex Lindsay, who's known for a lot of Jughead issues, he's drawn him in every form, I would say. So no, I'm constantly inspired by the past. I especially like classic 50s, 60s, DiCarlo, Lucy, that kind of art. And I pull a lot from my predecessors. That's pretty much it.
One of the best things about reading like the classic Double Digest, my first comic books really, was that it was a variety of artists sort of touching different eras always, at least when I was in the 90s. So the fact that you incorporate that, I feel like, and in the strip in general, feels like it's such a connection to the fans' experience of these characters across all platforms, plus talking about topical things that are just happening in the world right now. That's a lot to balance, I feel like.
Exactly. I especially have a soft spot for a lot of like past characters, especially characters people might not know about. There's another strip that's actually one of my favorites in this volume. That's it's Archie and Betty going to a claw machine. And in that claw machine, there's all these little plushies of characters that nobody really knows about, but I'm trying to make them relevant again subtly.
Yeah.
I'm throwing them in there. There's Cosmo, the Mighty Martian, Dottie and Ditto. I'm saying these characters like you guys know them, but this is
no Cosmo, but after that,
Cosmo.
Jamie, I'm curious to hear from you. How does Bite-Sized Archie fit into the overall editorial plan?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I'm very lucky because I get to have an early peek at a lot of the process between Ron and Vin, which is just really cool because I get to see Ron's ideas and sort of Vin's responses to them too, because seeing their sort of interplay just makes it so fun. And then whatever Vin sends the art in, I'm always just so amazed by, I don't know, just seeing these fun little quick ideas and how well they come to life. I see Bite-Sized Archie in general as just sort of this natural evolution of what we would consider our classic style art. It's very much in that family-friendly vein. Anybody can jump into it, but it's got jokes that are going to appeal to older audiences too. It's not just like, oh, this is just for kids. It's like, no, it's accessible to kids. But if you're an adult reading it, you're totally going to love it too, because you're probably going to get a lot more of those references than maybe other age groups will. So I feel like it's that perfect natural evolution. We also always try to stay on trend, on topic, whatever fads are happening. We always try to have a digest story for that. This lets us do it with a lot more of like immediacy. Like we can get something really quick. If something's coming out, Ron is so great about like timing things to releases. You know, a digest story is going to take a couple of months from, you know, the pitch to when we put it out. So if something really big happens that we're not expecting in between, then we're probably going to be a little late if we want to try and include that. Bite Size Archie gives us that perfect place to put something in, like, right as it's happening.
Well, and I think oh, go ahead, Justin.
Please. Sorry, Alex. I have a larger editorial question that I think speaks to Bite Size Archie and everything you all do. Like, I think the comic book industry, like, as a whole, has this reputation being like, well, they're not so up to date with what's happening in the world. But I feel like Archie just is the absolute opposite, feels so present and taking creative swings all the time. How do you possibly do that? Is it, everyone is just constantly like up to date? Do you, are those the conversations you're having in the office? Like, how does that work?
First of all, just thank you for saying that, because, you know, for the longest time, the big thing would be like, oh, Archie, isn't that that company from like the 50s? So to hear somebody saying like, wow, you guys are present, you guys know what's happening, is just the highest compliment we could get. Yeah, I would say it's a lot of just, you know, having conversations, keeping an eye on what's important. We're really lucky that we've been sort of given the task of like, take a swing, take as many creative swings as you want. You know, you're not gonna do anything if you don't just take a chance. And, you know, with our newer, hot, like, modern and horror stuff, we definitely take a lot of risks because we can do pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. And Bite Size Archie is cool because it allows us to do that as well in a space that can sort of cross between the modern and classic audiences.
Well, that was what Justin said, was kind of the same thing I was going to say, just to sort of extend it even a little further. I think you guys have been really smart in terms of trying to find things that fit in specific places. Like, we always think about the double digest of the supermarket rack, and that's still there if you want it. And like, we're probably going to talk a lot more about, you got the chilling horror stuff that appeals to more modern audience. Bite-Sized Archie, it's so chill. It's a social play is what it feels like. And I love that it's being collected. And then you got a big Ethel Energy as well, which is getting the Webtoon crowd, which is so smart as well. And I feel like more publishers should be leading into that and really aren't. So it's good to see. Good job. You're doing a good job. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we always say we want to meet our fans where they are. And if there's a place that fans might not, you know, be knowing, like there's some place where fans could potentially be and we're not there yet, we're going to make our best effort to put ourselves there so we can find everybody everywhere and they can find us.
Yeah. Ooh, we got a comment here I just wanted to read from an uninvolved anonymous person named Ronzilla, who says Vin and Jamie are the best. That's so nice, Ronzilla. Oh, I don't know who that is.
You know, talk about meeting the fans where they are.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. A big fan. It's always nice to see it. Sorry, Justin, you were going to ask.
Well, I was going to then ask the sort of the opposite question. If you all are so nimble and like especially like Webtoon, it's shocking to me that no one else is really doing that. I feel like in like mainstream comics, like why aren't other people doing
it? That's a good question.
Jamie, you want me to answer?
Go right ahead.
It could be just a matter of turnaround, as Jamie said before, like with Digest in particular, we're about like 2-3 months out, whereas with webcomics, and I know firsthand, it's not the easiest thing to do like on a quick turnaround. It's fortunate that we're able to get out a 4-panel strip weekly. Not as easy for like a 20-page comic. So I think that might be part of it. But hey, what do I know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. These are the answers that I feel like are really interesting to hear about, the behind the scenes
process. Yeah. Speaking of the 4-panel, while we're talking about, I just wanted to say I was really impressed with the Bite Size Archie of like how much goes down in the 4 panels. It's a tough format to have like an arc and all these things. Like, I know the one that starts off where it's like a cat, you know, and it looks like a Garfield setup, and they even talk about how they hate Mondays, but then it has such a cool twist. It's really impressive, the voyage that it goes on in those 4 panels. My favorite is the cheeseburger that comes to life, and I'm like, oh my God, how is Jughead going to deal with this? And he's like, you're still a cheeseburger, I'm going to eat you. It's just awesome. I have such a fun time with these.
Yeah. Put you in the headspace.
That's That's all Ron right there. I was scratching my head a bit about the sentient cheeseburger, but once as I was drawing it, I was like, oh, I see what he's going for. This is great.
Yeah, it is.
And it ended up being this big buildup to strip number 100. And I don't know how many people were expecting that character to return, but I'm happy that he did.
Agreed.
Now he's part of the canon. Yeah. I do, to turn back to you, Jamie, for a second, this is something I think we talked a little bit about, or maybe a lot of bit about the last time you were on the show, just the overall direction of Archie Comics in terms of you all have been releasing one-shots for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of wondering, I was missing those ongoing Archie series, like the more modern update on Archie or Sabrina or whatever. But what we now know is coming out in September is a collection, a trade collection of the Chilling Adventures things, an anthology. Is that in your mind? Is that worth it? Oh,
look at that. Whoa, oh, at the same time. Oh, my God.
So it seems like this was, correct me if I'm wrong, but like kind of the goal here is to get something that isn't just going for the floppy crowd, but also potentially going for the bookstore trade crowd as well.
Correct. Yeah, it's easy access points for new readers. It allows us the opportunity to play with a lot of different characters, a lot of different ideas, and then you can still get that collected edition. And if you're paying attention and you're collecting all of them, you'll start to notice like little threads here and there that, you know, it's not heavy continuity where if you miss one, you're going to be completely lost, but it's almost like a little reward for if you've been sticking around, you'll start to notice sort of things tying together in interesting ways.
So, well, talk about that then a little bit. Like, what connects these stories in your mind other than the plot threads and other than the horror? What was important in terms of crafting this volume?
I think it's really just a matter of, you know, telling the best stories with the best characters for the stories. You know, there's not, when we put these together, there wasn't a like, all right, when it's collected in a volume, what's going to be the big overall story? It was more of just each one is its own unique experience. But then when you see them all together, it doesn't feel disjointed. It doesn't feel, you know, like, oh, this is weird. These are too many things. It's very much, you know, leaning into that very classic horror anthology format that we did in our past, that a lot of other publishers did. I like to think of it as almost like a Tales from the Crypt, but in book form, you know, just that sort of overall, you know, this is all of the stories we could tell in just sort of bite-sized formats. And if you like something, maybe it'll come back. And we've sort of positioned, especially the two characters you see on the cover here, Madam Satan and Jinx, as kind of almost being the sort of like forefront of these collections. You're going to see them pop up quite a bit. They've kind of presented themselves almost organically as our sort of new horror hosts in a way.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I did want to ask you before we turn to the new one that's coming up here, and you're probably going to hate this question because you get it all the time, but at some point, I believe Garascasa was going to do a continuation of the Chilling Adventures series in two different ways in the comic book form. Is that still on the docket somewhere?
I mean, we never say never to anything, but we wouldn't give out any dates if we didn't have them yet. So I would always say, right, you know, keep hope alive. Sabrina in general is especially somebody you want to keep an eye out for because she will be returning.
All right. I like it.
Nice.
Well, let's talk about the next thing in the Chilling Adventures line then, which is Strange Science, yeah, which is coming out not on September 6th, but on August 16th. Without getting into too many spoilers here, because we know it's not coming out for a while, but I read this, I love this. This continues to feature Danny Malloy, who is the first trans character that Archie has had. What's important about putting Danny to the forefront here?
Well, this was something interesting. Writer Magdalene Visaggio really had a passion for telling this story specifically with Danny. And we love the idea of using Danny. She previously appeared in Dilton's Strange Science, which is a series in the 90s. We haven't used her too much since. Just, you know, there have been so many characters over the years that sometimes it's hard to keep track. And what was interesting about Danny was that she was sort of the person who was equal to Dilton in terms of smarts, if not a little bit smarter. So what was really cool was taking this character and putting her in the forefront and giving her this really new important story. You're going to see a lot of Dilton's in this book, so you see a lot of that come to play here. But this is really about her life and sort of you know, almost explained why she was gone for a bit. Obviously, that wasn't the idea when that series came out. That's more of a newer evolution, but it explains why Danny wasn't in the stories before. And it also, we've been doing this thing organically where within a few of the Jinx one-shots, Danny has shown up as her best friend because we wanted people to feel like they had a sense of Danny. They had a sense of her personality. They had a sense of her friendship with Jinx. So it wasn't just this, like, here's this character you forgot about. Let's just put her front and center. And here's this, you know, story. We wanted people to get to know her first. That way, when they get to learn her backstory, it has so much more of an impact.
I was really surprised how, to your point, and again, not doling out any spoilers, how emotional this story was in the middle of a lot of crazy horror and sci-fi stuff. What was that like when you first got this scripted and saw that?
I think I teared up. I think I teared up a few times reading it. Honestly, like every time I would look at it, I just, it's, I think the fact that it does take place in the middle of this sci-fi horror, all of this stuff that's happening. And there's so many funny moments too. Like, Mags is just such a fantastic writer because she knows how to balance that humor and horror. And then when something emotional happens, it feels like even more of a gut punch because you were just laughing or horrified by the amazing horror imagery that artist Butch Mappa crafts here. But there's that emotional story at the core that is just so beautiful. And it's just, it's such a well-rounded story. I really, really love it.
I feel like from a horror perspective, you've been slowly, like, ticking it up with each successive book. And I just reading this, I was like, this seems scarier. Each book seems scarier. And I don't know if that's intentional. Are you slowly boiling us? Are we going to look back and be like, Archie, the scariest publisher in comic books?
You're on to us. Not really.
Collection, actually, so. Thank you for giving us that.
Great.
Well, I did want to ask you about a couple of other things that I was just curious about. Big thing, I don't think we have it dated yet, but later this year, The Archies, the Netflix movie out of India, is coming up. Is there, I imagine there is some thought, but is there any thought to doing some sort of tie-in or some sort of event around that? Or can we expect to see something that might reflect those takes on the characters in the comic book form?
Well, we actually currently have a graphic novel out now.
Yeah,
The Archies in India, which collects quite a few of the stories where the Archie cast has visited India. We have such a huge, dedicated fan base there that we've, you know, incorporated that into a lot of our stories over the year. So that's out now. That's something you can buy, you know, ahead of, you know, the premiere. Everything else is still TBA, but that's definitely something that you could have and enjoy once the movie comes out.
And here's another one that I think you're going to give me a TBA on. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the show Riverdale on the CW is ending towards the end.
I've heard of it.
Huge news drop from Alex.
Yeah, sorry, I'm breaking it here on the show. There was an idea that was actually floated in our Patreon Slack that I wanted to throw by you was, you've done Riverdale comics in the past. I know this is very fresh. We haven't even had the finale yet. But do you see, would there ever be a possibility of, like, continuing the show in comic book form, getting a Riverdale season 8 or something like
that? Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that we've discussed that at length. So definitely something worth exploring. Like I said, never say never.
All right. Well, that said, then, what else is coming out that people should look out for? Obviously, we've talked about a lot of stuff, but what should people be checking out over the next couple of months?
So as mentioned, Strange Science drops on August 16th. Again, I can't stress how much I love this book, and I really hope everybody else enjoys it as well. We've got Bite Size Archie on the 6th, and then we also have the Chilling Adventures trade paperback that will be out on
it's great choreo.
Yes, the 12th, if I'm not, oh no, you know, you can get it in comic shops on August 23rd, so even sooner if you go to your local comic shop. That'll also be a great primer because it features a number of Madam Satan stories, and she will have her own one shot once again coming out on September 20th, and you can pre-order that before August 28th.
Awesome. Wow. Well, cool. Jamie, Vin, thank you so much for coming on. It was great seeing you. Congratulations on everything. We've been loving all these titles. Bring on even more Bite Size Archie. Bite Size Archie Goes Global, Volume 3 or something.
I like that.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. See you.
I cut him off. I always do that. I'm a jerk. I'll tell you what. But yeah, I know she just reviewed that stuff, but I'll just mention it anyway. The Chilling Adventures trade paperback is out September 12th. Strange Science is out August 16th. Bite Size Archie Volume 2 going viral. It's out September 6th, just in time for your anniversary, Justin. And yeah, as she mentioned, the Archie's, Archie's in India. You can pick that up right now.
I hope they're working on the next Riverdale series in comic book form, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, well, if you had to write it, it would be all Bughead, right? Bughead season 8.
Not just me, all right? Not just me. Multiple There's a lot of Bugheads.
You're the only what is happening person here? I know.
A lot of Bugheads out there.
A lot of Bugheads.
You write it on your journal.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kid series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, folks, we are going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, not on X, because that site is a hellhole. But before we get into it, why don't we talk about what we're drinking before we do questions? And I think we can kick it off with, I think everybody knows this, but every week on the show, we have a drink that is either created or curated by me. I'm the one who does it.
No, you don't.
And then
official
the other thing,
CBC chef.
I'm the official Alex CBC out. Chef. No. And then the other thing that I do is I always like to give a little nod to a recently deceased celebrity with my cocktail. So this week, what we're drinking.
Yeah. What the fuck?
What we're Alex drinking Eve is a Tellem Large Marg. Large Marg sent you, yeah. Which is tequila and mezcal, it's lime
Marge.
Juice, Zillow it's, liquor.
Marge.
No, but it's Marg, like margarita. It's a margarita, Pete. It's Tellem Large
Boo.
Marg sent you.
It's a margarita.
It's a tribute. I don't know if you heard, but Paul Rubens passed away.
Pee-wee Bring Herman, back Stray Bullet. He's better at this.
You got to double the size to make it
He's
a large Marg.
He's the real
Marg.
Chef.
And you can drink it in the basement of the Alamo if you want. That's probably, I think, the best place to drink it.
So that is a great spot to have a drink. No
basement in the Alamo.
Nope. There you go. So,
never heard that.
I can't imagine that there would be another section of the show that would pay better tribute to Paul Rubens, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Oh, wow. We feel the heat right now. We feel some real heat.
Oh, yeah.
How many celebrities
God.
Back are
oh,
you?
Oh, I'm
Pete?
So worried. Oh, my God.
How many celebrities back? You're not even at Paul Rubens. He's like 5 weeks from now at this point, right?
Yeah, you can't just jump to Paul Rubens just because.
I can do whatever I want. It's my margarita section.
Pete always leaves a month for the celebrity to maybe come back to life.
Like that fish that I had when I was growing up that did that.
That's exactly right. The original celebrity is Alex's mm-hmm. fish.
Yes. Justin, what are you drinking? What are you drinking today?
I was drinking a sort of my own version of the Large Marg, which was very different. It had some grapefruit-infused vodka that I made and a little Aperol and some sweet vermouth.
Nice. Pete, what about you?
I just want to go on record and say I don't want to appreciate the fact that you stole a job from Stray Bullet, who's been doing an amazing job all these years. And, you know, I'm drinking a Lagunitas daytime. This is daytime.
Lagunitas. I like that you hit every letter in pronouncing that. Pete, are you having your team of writers hastily rewrite trivia just off camera because of the Paul Rubens usage here?
No, I'm not going to sweat something Zalbin says. You know what I mean? Like, I've already done it. It's already locked in. You know, you can't change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for listeners should know that Pete does lock trivia.
That's right. You know how journalists pre-write obits? He does the same thing with trivia. He has trivia for basically every celebrity he thinks is going
to
die.
Pete, I dare you to read off the trivia you have built around my death. I dare you to do that next week.
I can't wait for that to happen. Should I do it during your funeral, or should I wait till we do a podcast?
To the legend, Justin Tyler.
I will have a live mic in my coffin.
Oh, nice. Smart.
So we can hear your death rattle.
Exactly. I want you guys. Well, no, I think they wait for you to die before they put you in the coffin, just to be clear. Let's not get ahead of
it. I'm unclear on it. Let's try both ways and see what happens.
Let's try both ways.
Yeah, why don't we jump to some questions here, because we got a couple that are popping up already. This is from The Big. Have any of you guys watched Twisted Metal on Peacock? If so, thoughts, were you fans of the games? I watched the first couple of episodes of it, but either of you guys watch the show, fan of the games?
Oh, I used to play the game all the time in college. We used to play way too much. Mm. Huge fan. I'm going to check it out. I haven't done it yet, though.
I also haven't watched it, but a friend of mine that I was in the last year on the road with was auditioning for, was called back for one of the big decent-sized roles. So I was his reader for his audition a couple of times. So I definitely have seen the scripts a little bit. So
Do you blame yourself? Because if maybe you were a better reader, he could have got the part, you know?
Very, very much so. Yeah, it's definitely my fault.
Okay.
Right. I didn't love the first couple of episodes of this. It's the sort of thing that I could see some people liking, but the rhythm and the style of the humor was not for me. Great cast, mind you. Anthony Mackie is in it, and Stephanie Beatriz and Thomas Hayden Church. Will Arnett does a voice of one of the characters in it. So, fun cast, ridiculous premise.
A friend of mine, Mitch from the Doughboys, is in it.
I
think podcast. I recognized him. I was like, I know who that guy is, but I didn't remember it. It's from to the guys who did like Deadpool and Zombieland and everything, but it's much bigger and broader. And Anthony Mackie is like, wow, I'm playing everything very big. And in the first couple of episodes I watched, I really only laughed once. So I don't know. That was a little disappointing to me. Also, a lot of the car stuff, and I understand this, but clearly CGI, which was kind of a bummer for a show that's supposed to be all about like the car chases and the car wrecks and everything. So I don't know. People seem to be enjoying it, though. People seem to be going the opposite direction of me. So if you're curious, check it out.
I guess the metal wasn't twisted. Right, Alex?
I guess.
Because you love it when it's twisted.
It wasn't twisted enough for me. I do love Twisted Metal and Twisted Tea. Those are my two favorite twisted things. Pablo DiMartino says, have you guys read Mark Millar's Big Game yet? I personally like it, and Pepe Larraz is an amazing choice for the series. Thoughts?
Ooh.
No.
Yeah.
No, I have not checked it out. Thank you, Pablo, for the recommendation. I do love Pepe Larraz, though.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's funny. I haven't read much more Mark Millar.
Full disclosure, Image doesn't send those out. So I don't know.
There it is.
Yeah, we can't get it. We can't review.
You know what we should do is a catch up on the not books like that, Saga being one of them. We haven't talked about for so long on this podcast.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Saga and whatever this fucking Mark Millar book is. All right, why don't we move on? All in the Game says, just how sad are you all that Kraven, who apparently gets his powers from a lion's bite, has been moved to next year? Oh, it seems like a kind of a biased question. What do you guys think about that? The date, Sony blamed this on the strikes. I feel like they're being a little disingenuous here, to be honest. But they moved Kraven from an October premiere date of this year to August of next year. Beyond the Spider-Verse, which was originally scheduled for next year, they took off the schedule and they said that's because of the strikes too, even though it's animation and it's not covered by any of that. So...
Well, the Spider-Verse, I think it gave them a nice out for a production that was well behind their goals. So I think that's actually better that they found a good reason to relieve that pressure. Kraven, I actually think, because one of the main things that's happening right now while these movies are getting pushed is because the actors aren't promoting. They can't promote them because they're on strike. And that's a major way that people know about movies. So I think Kraven being pushed, you don't have Russell Crowe out there being like, like doing his Danny DeVito penguin impression.
He is doing another funny accent in this after, what was it, The Pope's Exorcist, where he also did a funny accent in. He's entered his funny accent phase. I'm very proud of him.
And I love Russell Crowe. Is like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Sounds good.
So I actually need money. Think the push makes sense that they would push it beyond, because I think they also know this movie could be big. The Venom movies were big. All the making fun of it that us and everyone online are doing actually helps in some degree. So I think they need the actors to be able to be out there to promote it as well.
I will say, conversely, though, this is just based on pure feeling, Kraven to me feels like October people would watch it as a goofy movie when it's like fall outside. August, it doesn't feel like an August to me, which is sort of the surprise hits that make you feel good versus a schlocky, stupid thing. But I don't know. Whatever. It'll come out.
If I were them, I would put it in that Cocaine Bear slot and just ride the lightning.
There you go. This is from Kevin. How open are you all to doing musical performance on the cast or on the stage?
This feels like a targeted question. What is Kevin planning something?
I don't know. I used to do musicals in high school, but I don't think I would ever do that again. Is that fair?
I can't sing, really. But I did a musical improv once and sort of...
You were also cast in an opera at the Metropolitan.
Recently casted at the Metropolitan Opera, world-renowned opera house. Bring it on. I'm opera certified.
And Pete, you're swing for Josh Groban and Sweeney Todd right now, right?
I don't know what you mean by that, but I don't sing for shit.
No, he swings with Josh
Groban. Oh, I misunderstood. Yeah, he's got to grab that grobe. That's what Pete's always said.
Grab that grobe. Gotta grab that grobe. See, we can sing.
This is from Ben the Border Collie. One question. I read the Hellfire Gala, and can I get a hug? Ben, you absolutely can get a hug. I will give a little bit of a plug. Justin and
I'll give you a 40-minute hug.
Yes. Well, what I was going to say was Justin and I got on to talk about the Hellfire Gala issue. I really honestly thought, how long are we going to talk? 10, 15 minutes or something? We talked for 40 minutes about that issue. So if you want to check out the podcast breaking down all the big spoiler stuff, that is available in the Comic Book Club feed right now.
And don't worry, Pete, we actually pulled some clips of you screaming, fuck you, and we just dropped them in intermittently.
Smart move. But to answer your question, yes, Ben, you can. Of course you can.
Can I?
That's nice.
I know we don't want to do this on the stack or anything. Can I get a hug? Pete, I know you texted me when I was like, hey, do you want to talk about this? And you're like, it's bullshit. Justin's scared right now.
Yeah.
Could you, there were a couple of people in the Patreon Slack. I know Straight Bullies and a couple of other people were like, you've hated the Krakoan era. This seems to be the end of the Krakoan era. What do you think about Hellfire Gala?
Well, I don't like it. I'm happy, death to fuck Island. I'm super happy that, this stupid choice that Marvel made is ending. It's just upsetting to see the carnage. I don't like to see, people die or horrible things happen. Also, the bullshit of we had Lollipop Man and then he got a new helmet and he looks like a fucking beer opener, which is even more ridiculous. I mean, it's just,
you love beer though, and you love opening it.
You do love beer, especially opening.
Sure, but I don't want my superhero to reflect that in his helmet choice. You know what I mean?
Magneto has a dumb helmet on all the time.
Like that helmet. That's a solid helmet.
That looks like a bottle opener.
No. I just...
What about Dark Helmet? Does Dark Helmet have a cool helmet? You like that movie,
yes.
Right, Pete?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just not happy to see all the death and destruction and stupid shit to have happen. I feel like it's not fun. to watch or to experience. And it's also just like, yeah, I'm really hoping the next thing will be more on brand for the X-Men and a little bit more accessible and fun.
Did you feel like Hawkeye and Avengers Disassembled reading the Hellfire Gala, just like flying it to the ship, shouting, not like this, not like this?
Well, if you're making if you're making a Matrix reference, then yes, not like this is exactly how I.
I literally said it was for Avengers Disassembled.
I remember that part, but when you say not like this, I think of Matrix.
It's very funny that you think that you reading the Hellfire Gala is your picking up the phone and dying from the Matrix.
Yeah.
Was that Joey Pants? Does that line?
No, it's I forget the name of the character. Oh, the blonde, it's like spiky hair.
The blonde, yeah. Spiky hair.
Hackors or
her name's like Hackers. Glitch or something. Like
Glitch, yeah, sure. John Dorsey says, "All right, boys, question time. A short list of all-time favorite non-superhero comic artists. Let's say top three non-traditional underground, what have you."
Ooh. Wow, non-superhero comic artists.
What the fuck?
Wow, Pete is mad, instantly mad.
I mean, first ones that come to mind, this is definitely not my top three. I'd have to spend more time. But
yeah,
like,
I have to
the top of the dome.
Do some real research on this.
Art Spiegelman, I guess, because Mouse is great. I think Kate Beaton is phenomenal. Is it Paul Chadwick who does Concrete?
Yeah, dude, that's what I was going to say, Concrete.
There you go.
But yeah, could they ever have done, or they could never have done a superhero comic, or are they just not known for it? I mean, that's a... Yeah, thank you, Stray Bull. Gabriel Rodriguez.
Yeah, Gabriel Rodriguez is a good one. What about, like, Mike Mignola? Would that count?
Ooh, that's a good...
It's like on the edge.
That's very much on the edge. I mean, I got to give it up for Mobius. Easy, big answer. But also Paul Pope.
Morpheus? Did you say Morpheus?
Yeah, Morpheus.
From the Matrix?
The artist of our dreams.
What it's definitely Fiona you. Staples, no question.
But Paul Pope is my big answer. And famously, I'll throw by, I don't know if I've told this story in a very long time. Paul Pope used to, the restaurant I worked at like a decade ago, he framed his art at the gallery next door. He came in and had lunch. He drew me an original drawing on the placemat of the Minotaur that I have framed in my, to this day.
Awesome. That reminds me, this is apropos of nothing other than your story reminded me, but so when we used to have Cliff Chiang on the show all the time, I think, did he give prints to all of us?
Yeah.
Of stuff that he signed? So I have those hanging on my wall, and there's, my son had his birthday this past weekend, and one of his friends, who's apparently like reads the DC Encyclopedia, came over and pointed to Dr. 13 characters. It was like, is that blah, blah, blah? And I was like, listen, buddy, I don't know. I have no idea. But
listen,
I was so
man,
impressed.
I host a comic book podcast. You're a kid.
Get out of here. You're out of the birthday. Anyway. Here we go. This is from Frederico Rosa. What's the best recent event from Marvel DC? Unboxing my comics from 10 years. And there's a lot of bad stuff.
Ooh,
best recent event.
Well, the undead stuff that DC's doing has been a blast.
The Night Terrors, you mean?
Yeah, the Night Terrors.
No. Oh, is that what you meant? I thought you meant those crossovers that we talked about.
The recent Night Terrors thing that's going on right now.
Nice. That is very recent. That's current.
I know you, Justin, were talking about not liking this the other day, but it made me think about how much I liked 90% of it, the Dark Web crossover they did in Spider-Man.
It was crazy. So
goofy and so funny for most of the run, and then it just didn't amount to anything at the end of the day. But most of those issues made me laugh out loud while I was reading them. I really enjoyed it.
They were wild. Are you excited that Rec Rap has emerged?
No, I'm not excited about that. That's dumb.
What is your line? That's
it seems
like
a little...
I mean, if the story's fine, I'll love it. I don't care.
That's sort of the avatar of that. I mean, I was complaining about this on the our Hellfire Gala podcast, but like, I feel like the most the crossover that has the biggest effect has been the Green Lantern Spectrum issues mm-hmm. that introduced the Spectrum into comics, and because that I think has changed how everyone looks at the character and building out a larger mythology and universe around every hero out there.
I'll also throw out there, and this is top of mind because we just mentioned Night Terrors, but the Future State event that DC did yes. last year, that was very impressive in terms of being something that editorially was giving the teams a break so they could do stuff, but they made sure that it was these bold, wild, weird stories that didn't necessarily all work, but that's okay. They're trying stuff. And then a lot of them actually had impact on the main line anyway. So just from a logistical perspective, I thought it was really impressive, but it was a fun thing to read and a nice break from the regular titles.
Looking back, I think, especially on the heels of the Secret Invasion TV show, it made me nostalgic for the Secret Invasion crossover event. Mm-hmm. A great insertion of paranoia into Marvel Comics, and reminds me how I miss those sort of big moments that are very constructed, when so many crossovers now are just inciting incident in the book, a ton of satellite books, and then a conclusion at the end. And I miss like Titanic hits back to back.
I legitimately don't remember. Was War of the Realms good? I feel like maybe that was good as well.
Yes, maybe. What was was it Secret Wars where we got like Weird World and all that?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yes.
I liked how strange that got.
Yes.
Shout out Ben the Border Collie, Lazarus Planet, I agree with.
Yeah, I don't know if that worked as an event, but the one-shots were very good.
They were great.
This is from Michael Tillman. Wait, why doesn't Image send those? Do they not like the free marketing? Not to get too into the business or anything, but they're Image, and most of the publishers send most of the stuff that they make over for review purposes. There are a couple of things that we don't get. We don't get Saga. I'm not sure why, other than maybe it comes in late or maybe they don't care. The Mark Millar titles also don't come over. And we get most of the Marvel stuff, but they didn't send over Hellfire Gala early. I think that was mainly for scheduling things. Like, I think they were probably working on it until the last second, because most of the time they don't even hide the big event stuff or anything like that. So I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not.
I think it's because they know they're going to sell and they don't need to push it.
Yes. Know? I think from the Image perspective, that's the thing where Mark Millar is like, I don't need the reviews. It doesn't matter. People are going to buy it based on my name.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make money selling Netflix shows, says Mark Millar. let's see. Do we, oh, here we go. I can't tell whether this, here we go. Okay. This is from Stray Bullet. I'm supposed to be in Los Angeles on vacation right now, but Spirit Airlines canceled our flight.
Come on, Spirit.
That I don't know what to do with my day after the show ends. I'm all turned around now. Any suggestions what Stray Bullet should do with the rest of his day?
Yeah, I would go get a beignet, dude. They're unbelievable, and you know, you should go get them.
Oh, yeah, ride on a fan boat. Check out.
Yeah, go to Preservation Hall and listen to some jazz. All great Gnarlands ideas.
Go to the aquarium. That's cool.
Just drink yourself silly. You'll be fine.
This is from All in the Game. Are y'all going to check out the new TMNT animated movie?
Got my tickets. Can't wait, baby.
So I've seen it. I know Pete doesn't like spoilers.
Don't you say a goddamn word.
Why don't you take off your headphones for a second, Pete? Put your earmuffs on. I feel like we're working with a child here. It's great.
You feel like that now?
It's great. I legitimately, I told Pete this in the Slack, but I felt like watching that movie, this was a movie that was lab made for Pete LePage, because it's Walt. First of all, other than the original comics, I'm not a huge Turtles guy. Like, there's been stuff that I've liked and enjoyed, but it was the original Eastman and Lair comics that I enjoyed, and then everything else. Like, I didn't like the original cartoon or anything like that. But this movie does such a great job of taking the original cartoon, the Eastman and Laird comics. And for Pete's purposes, it's like wall-to-wall 90s hip-hop in the soundtrack.
Oh, my God. He's going to love it.
Yes. And it's very funny. It's also Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg doing like their hangout comedy thing. Really, really fun. And the biggest thing about it, the thing that was most exciting for me, is it continues this great trend of post Into the Spider-Verse animated movies actually looking like something, like not being the DreamWorks
making
smirk.
Making a choice.
Making a choice. And this is the, if you haven't seen it, it's from the same director as Mitchell's versus the Machines, which was
great,
awesome.
Fantastic,
and it's him
fantastic.
Taking that style and pushing it even further in terms of like things looking sketchy and drawn and everything. Yeah. The cast is great. Ayo Edebiri is hilarious as April O'Neil. I think, oh my God, is it Jackie Chan who plays, is Jackie Chan, I think, plays Splinter and is very, very funny as well. Best Splinter movie, great Leonardo movie, wildly. Like, I will happily watch a sequel to this one. Pete, you can put your headphones back.
Wait, let's see if how long we can keep him out.
Oh, okay. And that's why I hated the new TMNT.
Oh, come on, dude. I don't care what you say. I'm seeing it.
No, anymore. I already said it in Slack. It's tailor-made for you. You're going to love it.
From Stray Beans, what if the Ninja Turtles were turned into Frankensteins in the new movie? Just four Frankensteins.
Stop trolling me,
Stray Beans. You are going to... I am so excited to talk to you after you see it, because there are so many things that you're just going to be like... You're going to straight up Chris Farley out about this entire movie. I'm very excited. It's great. Good stuff. Where are we? Do we have any other questions here?
There's a lot of questions in there.
Oh, boy. Sorry. I lost my place here.
Kevin.
Ooh, here we go. Here's one. Lightman says, did you guys get to check out the new season of Harley Quinn on Max yet? If so, what did you think of the first three episodes that they dropped? I've watched.
Yeah, you watched all of
them except for the finale. But have you guys checked it out at all?
I'm too deep.
What do you think so far, Pete?
You're great, too Matt. Deep or you're too deep?
I'm two episodes into the new season, as I say, too deep. Yeah, I'm having a great time. It's a fantastic show. I want more Kite Man. There's no Kite Man. He's just playing side characters as different things. So,
isn't Kite Man getting a spinoff?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you got to yank him out of the main thing. You know, it was such a fun part of it.
Well, get ready. He's not in the first nine episodes.
He is in the first episode. He plays like a side villain.
Yes. Yeah. Matt Oberg, the actor, is doing a voice. But
Moberg.
Yes. I didn't love this season as much. I still love the show, and I think it's better than most other shows on TV.
The Joker's great.
Joker's great. It's just like there's something about the jokes that's not quite as hitting as hard for me in this season, even though I still enjoy it and I still think it's worth watching. Another show, lots of show questions. This is from Stanley. Have you seen the Good Omen show? It's great. Guys?
Yes, I have seen the Good Omen show, read the Good Omen book back in the day. Very fun.
I didn't love the first season of it. I did read the book back in the day, but I felt like there was something a little stilted about the first season. Like the second season, a lot better. Like, I think freed from the story of the book and having to honor that and pay homage to that, they went in some really fun directions, lean into Michael Sheen and David Tennant's chemistry. Really fun. I enjoyed it. But it's six episodes per season, so there you go.
Very smart. Easy.
What do we got? What else have we got? Here we go. Stray Bean says, remember when Batman and Catwoman didn't get married in a special wedding issue event?
Oh man, yeah. It was heartbreaking.
I do.
Absolutely heartbreaking.
I mean, we all knew they weren't gonna be like permanent.
We didn't all know that. For a second I thought maybe Batman was gonna be happy, and nope.
Nice. Well, the hard part would have been getting Mephisto over the DCU to whisper in Catwoman's ear. Right.
We got a very serious question from Kevin. I was reminded this week that one big difference from the live show days is the guests don't stick around for audience questions. Thoughts?
Wait, you know, what is Kevin saying? That people who are listening right now have already checked out? Is that what
No. What he's saying, so there were different format that we did during the live show where, first of all, we had all the guests at the same time, and then they also were part of the entire show, including audience questions. We obviously have changed that now that we're streaming. What do you guys think about that? How are you feeling about it?
Well, we allow questions. We ask questions from the audience in the interview, so that's
But I think the idea is getting them to weigh on what did they think about Good Omens? What did they think about this other thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. It is more fun that way.
But well, the good news, Kevin, is that Zalbin's working on getting us a live show, so hopefully we can make that happen sooner rather than later.
I thought you were working on getting us a live
show. No, remember? You sent that email.
I knew that was happening.
And then we went back and forth on where to go, and then we decided on a place, and then you said you were going to take care of it.
I absolutely did not say that.
What are you talking about?
Just a little behind the further behind the curtain. P was like, I'm working on live shows. I'm thinking the first one will be in late December. We could probably do one sooner than that.
I want to give people enough time to be able to clear their schedule. There's nothing wrong with that.
2025. Schedule it for 2025. Oh, that gives them plenty of time. Well, I guess we're never doing a live show.
Why? Justin, why won't
Justin
you book
hasn't set it
place?
Up? Justin was supposed to set it up, as we clearly established, and it hasn't happened.
I guess I'll have to handle it.
I will say I do love that part of the show. That was very fun. Part of it is not making people hang out all night. Our shows have gotten exponentially longer as we've been doing streaming. So I don't want to make people hang out that long.
But let's just put it out there. You know, it's crazy.
What?
We, the three of us, haven't been in the same place in like 3 years. Yeah, I've seen each of you individually, but never the same. Never all three.
Oh, man.
I'd love to make it happen at the place we agreed upon we were going to do the show.
The top of the Empire State Building on Valentine's Day?
Nope. No.
Well, I don't know where it would be then.
You're... Please
Nat
tell
Towson.
Me.
Nat Towson, do you guys need me to book a venue?
Yeah, you're in charge now.
Nat Towson just had a great show at Union Hall.
There you go.
So he gets it.
This is also from Nat, an actual question. Is the MCU ever going to be good again? What do you guys think?
Well, Loki trailer.
Yeah, Loki trailer was great.
Interesting.
Marvel's looks fun. You're not into it.
I'm into it.
I don't know. I want it to be good, but like Marvel's is the thing that I feel like they've struggled the most with. Is like, let's do a fun comedy that also is a good like superhero story.
Blade's going to be great.
That's not coming.
Blade,
out
you're
going to
see Blade on your deathbed in like however many years. That's pushed
right?
off.
Right. Just got to make it till the screening of Blade, and then I'll kill over.
Nice. And then we'll podcast from your. I'll do trivia because I'm taking over trivia when you die. Right.
Oh yeah. Once I die, you got trivia. All right, man.
I thought you were dying first, and we're going to put a podcast to capture your death rattles. Wasn't that right?
I'm not necessarily saying I'm 100% going to die first. But, you know, I live on the edge. So.
Yeah, this is actually our next question. Which one of you is going to die first?
Dibs.
Jesus.
Hard to argue with that.
That's dark, man, but okay. All right. Well, that is it for your audience questions. We are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to a little man that I call Pete LePage.
A little man?
A little man with big ideas. The star of trivia, Dr. Peter J. LePage.
We need a volunteer. Are we going to donate to charity? What are we looking to do here?
What are we looking to do here? If anybody wants to do trivia, just raise your hand, say, hey, I would like to do trivia. We'll have to do it in the comments since we don't have anybody live, but you will potentially win a gift card to either Midtown Comics or Long John Silver's, our favorite fish restaurant, where you can also sometimes pick up comics.
That's
not true.
I can't
don't
believe we
lie to the people.
To each other at the
That's where we should do the show. We should do the show at Long John Silver's.
There is space for a theater audience in a lot of LJSs.
We got some hand-up action going on here.
Ooh, Michael Tillman, hand-up, donate to the venue rental fee. Stray Bullet also put a hand-up. And now Towson put a hand-up. What do you want to choose, Pete?
Well, should we go by first?
I like Nat Towson just says, bring me into the stream.
Yeah.
Bring me into the stream, you cowards.
Why don't we go for Michael Tillman? How about that?
All right.
Or Straight Bullet. Straight Bullet was first. Whatever you want, man. He's had a bad night.
Yeah, you're right. You're ragging on...
No, he was not having a bad night because of me. He was having a bad night because his spirit canceled his
flight. Yeah, he canceled first.
Yeah, and then I canceled him.
It was awful. This poor guy is having a tough time.
The only thing Straight Bullet has going for him is that he creates cocktails for us once a week. That's the only thing he's got in his life,
that's
man.
That's true. Why he took that away. LA.
He's got an unbelievable family.
Yeah, he was trying to find a new comic book show to do cocktails.
Chef at one of the greatest restaurants in the world. I think he's doing great.
Now, Alex made the cocktail. He's the official chef, Pete. Times have changed, Pete.
No.
I'm going to be heading down to NOLA end of the month. Straight Bullet, let's go. I'm trying to fill in the Pete wake.
Do you need a assistant for your trip or anything like that? I could meet you there.
How are you on set?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm up so.
And that's all the time we have for trivia.
Yeah, all right.
To our winner.
Okay, great. Cool.
I think it's Straight Bullet.
Okay, right? Great. So today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend, Paul Reubens, R.I.P. Pee-wee. Here we go. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. There is a new Daredevil number one comic coming out in September. What is your concern? Is it A, that Daredevil is dead, so how are they going to come out with a new number one? B, Dude Say Less, or is it C, Ralph C. Moore? Question number two. No, I'm just kidding. You got to get the first answer.
I was like, "What is that? The next step? You just rattle them all off."
Yeah.
I'll
give you all three questions, tell you you've won, and then say goodbye.
And then say goodbye. You are correct, Straight Bullet. Yes, B is acceptable. Here we go. Question number two. What if I told you the Mask of the Phantasm is being remastered in 4K? What would you think? Is it A, is that the same as Ultra HD? B, Pete, that's crazy. Or is it C, Peter Looney?
Oh, man, we've truly drifted off. I wish young versions of us could see this right now and give notes on what is going on in this show. Be like, why aren't you guys in the same room? Why aren't the guests around for audience questions?
Are correct, Stray Bullies. Well done. Here we go. Last one. Which Alice would you believe if they told you Umbrella Academy Season 4 is happening and it will be the final season? Is it A, Alice in Chains, B, Alice from Netflix, or is it C, Alice Nunn?
He says C. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Oh, no. Now he said A. Yeah. Is that correct?
It is. Because I just asked his opinion, and there are no wrong answers.
Wow, there you
really
go.
Hacks trivia.
Ah,
so there you go. Straight Bullet wanted to donate to charity. Straight Bullet, do you want to drop a link to your charity or something like that in the comments? And Pete, who is your secret? What was your secret movie, or what were you referring to?
We're talking about the 1985 cult classic Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And yes, Justin, Alice Nunn is a large Marge.
Let me just throw this out. Two things to throw out. Pete, you can't do Paul Reubens because Alex already covered. So let's take that again.
Oh, okay, we'll take it again. Yeah, sure.
Second thing, I was waiting for a train in a small town in southern Canada, and there was a crazy-looking man watching Pee-wee's Big Adventure like 5 days before Paul Reubens died. And was I briefly in a Twilight Zone situation?
No, it's a very popular movie that people watch all the time.
Can I tell you a weirder thing that happened? So Paul Reubens died, and then I picked up my son at camp. He's going to I won't say what it is on this public podcast, but he's going to a camp where they're basically,
we know
like
what camps are.
No,
but it's like a robot camp type thing. Like they're studying robot stuff.
AI, Alex?
Yeah, like he's going to ChatGPT camp. No, he's going to a robot camp. And one of the things that they were doing at the camp that day was they were talking about Rube Goldberg machines. And so I asked him, normally he tells me nothing. I'm like, you know, it's like pulling teeth of like, what did you do today? What did you do today? What did you do? As kids are wont to do. And today, that day, I asked him, I was like, hey, so how did it go? What did you do today? And he's like, oh, actually, we watched a really funny clip of this guy using a machine to make himself breakfast, and his name was P something. And I was like, wait, did you watch the breakfast scene from Pee-wee's Big Adventure? And we said, yes. And it turns out completely coincidentally, like they were going to show it to them anyway. And they watched it before it was announced that he had passed away. So
Whoa!
What's going on here? Who is this? Who's in the stream? What's happening?
You can't deny Nat Townsend.
How does he do it?
Your tour manager, Nat Townsend. Listen, the people want you in the same room. They want to see a single backdrop. No screen buffering. No latency issues. You hear me?
There's still going to be some latency issues. We're much older now.
That's just normal human comprehension issues.
Wow, Nat, I really want to talk to you about your amazing collection you have behind you there. That was really
impressive. Thank you very much. I got these from all my clients.
Wow. You get paid in comics. Smart.
Nat, we're, as our tour manager, where should we have a live show? What's a good venue to have a live show at?
Well, you guys, I gotta say, I would look at the Crane Theater on East 4th Street, which is run by Frigid. I know they're looking for events, and they're one of the best HVAC systems in New York, so they got really high ventilation for anyone who's a little worried about air quality. That's an option.
There it is.
You can do Caveat or
Caveat's the one we talked about.
Thoughtful, nerd-focused venues that might have people who'd be interested in something that's not a traditional stand-up show, but has a geek culture element to it in their mailing list. So that'd be another option.
Caveat's what we talked about.
Yeah, it's a big space, and you're going to do a lot of the marketing yourself. I'll tell you that much from experience. However, they've got a big following that would probably overlap with your audience. So, especially if you booked a guest who is like nerdy sci-fi nerdy, that's like right in there.
Okay. And how much of a cut are you taking as our tour manager?
Yeah.
Sorry, my throat. I gotta
clear my throat. Oh boy, he's gonna take an arm and a leg. I know it.
Accidentally just coughed so hard I spat on that part of the contract, but I bet it's not too much.
I bet.
Nat, thank you for your advice. We always appreciate it. I can't believe how much money we pay you. It's honestly a lot of money,
but that's how I pay for these signed copies of Headlopper, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, worth it.
Wow.
Worth it. Headlopper's phenomenal.
It's the only one I can see in the picture that is clear from the spine.
Well, you're also very clear from the spine. I'm saying that as your doctor, Nat. So
we all take care of it.
Thanks, Doc.
I'm everyone's dentist.
Well, looks like you're clear from the spine.
And he played a doctor in a comic book, so he knows.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's honestly pretty much the most I can afford with my insurance. I couldn't get a fictional doctor. I can't get like BD Wong even. I could pay for a guy who was once drawn as a dying doctor.
I wasn't dying. He's still alive. He's still out there.
That's Justin. Sorry, Justin.
Yeah, Justin died.
Justin died. I also died.
He got split by an axe.
Justin also died. Justin doesn't understand how comics work. He's never read Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud, so he doesn't understand that there's...
Comics by Scott McCloud? Hey!
Bunt la noia.
I don't know how to do my previous appearances from this vantage point, but...
Nat, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for your advice.
We appreciate
it. I can't
wait to see you in New York City in the flesh and touch all three of your bodies at the same time.
Oh!
We do it. We always hold hands in a little circle. Straight Bullet needs a date so he can book his trip to NYC and then have the flight be canceled the night before.
Don't jinx him like that. That's not nice. It's too soon.
Tell him a fake date and then he'll book a flight for that and then it'll get canceled and he'll have time to make it to the real date.
We're going to Friday, February 14th on top of the Empire State Building. That's what it'll be.
Valentine's Day.
Wear red
agenda.
For Superman.
You're already married. You don't need to do this.
There's no laws against marrying more than one person.
You can marry him, your podcast host, at sea.
You can Jedi marry him, that's
bring
for sure.
Bring flowers for Krakoa and
formally.
Yeah. All right, Nat, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. We appreciate your advice. Goodbye.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right. There we
go.
Always
great to have Matt.
Always great to have him. Before we wrap up here, new comic books coming out all the time. What are you guys looking forward to that is coming out this week?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'll take this.
Oh, you're going to go first this time?
Yeah, yeah. tired of you waiting for me to say my name. So, City Boy number 3, very excited about. And then the Sandman Universe special number 1, as well as Adventures of John Kent, Superman number 6.
Interesting, interesting. Justin, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I have to shout out Doctor Strange number 6 by Jed McKay. I love this run. This issue looks really interesting, setting up a potential villain that will become a bit of a bigger thing. Also, X-Men 25 moving. Mm-hmm. I've laser focused on the X-Men now after Hellfire Gala. I'm curious to see how each of these little pieces are going to continue on.
Well, the stack's going to be an interesting conversation.
Sure yeah. is. A couple of things I'm looking forward to that coming out this week. Sacrificers number 1 from Image Comics. This is a Rick Remender Max Romero book. This is always interested in a Rick Remender book. So,
oh, yeah.
I believe this is the issue that was released on Free Comic Book Day. So if you saw that, you know what this is about. But always excited about that sort of thing. Quest number 1, also from Image Comics. This is a Jonathan Luna book. Always very curious to check those out because I like Jonathan Luna's art in particular. And another one that I was very curious about, and I'm curious to hear you guys talk about, Fire and Ice number 1 from Dynamite by Bill Willingham. I thought this was a Conan thing. It is not a Conan thing.
No. It's kind of a Conan thing.
I have a take that I'll share.
Very excited to hear it. All of those are going to be at our Stack podcast that posts Wednesday 9 a.m. both in its dedicated Stack feed as well as the Comic Book Club feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people you want to thank. We want to thank Jamie Rotante and Vin Lavallo for coming on and talking about all their Archie comic stuff. Also, Ethan S. Parker, Griffin Sheridan, and Bob Quinn to talk about Kill Your Darlings, which is out on September 6th. Bunch of things we want to plug. Next week's guest, we got Panico Mundial to talk about Panico Press, Tracy Butler to talk about Lackadaisy, and Ramsey is going to be back on the show to talk about Mega City Max.
Nice.
A couple of other podcasts you can check out. Sons of a Gun, our DC podcast, rolling out weekly with DC news and views and reviews. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast. We just wrapped up Secret Invasion, everybody's favorite show, but we've also got some news stuff going in there as well. Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast. Wrap it up.
Oh,
final
man.
Episodes of the show this month.
Oh, God.
Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show.
What
and
are we
all
gonna
the shows
do?
We do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, not Stitcher, because that's going away the end of August. If you're subscribed on Stitcher, please subscribe elsewhere at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, good night.
Take care, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.